A reading from 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Dana Cunliffe, and I'm the pastor here. And from time to time, I tell you crazy stories about my childhood. Partly so you see that there's true redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ. Partly you get to know me a little better. And maybe it even ties to the point of tonight, which I hope it does tonight. So here's one of my crazy childhood stories. Back when I was in sixth grade, I lived in Fort Belvoir, Virginia. It was an Army post bordering the Potomac River, south of Washington, D.C., and a stone's throw away from Mount Vernon, the birthplace or the home of George Washington. Now, one day when I was running through the woods, the same woods that if you were here in the fall that I and my gang used to run through and light fires in, that's the very same woods. Yet another day, I was running through the woods with my gang, and we fell upon this archaeological dig. I kid you not. And there were these people stooped down, kind of like that. It was a little more foresty than that picture. But they had put stakes in the ground and kind of with string had marked off these 1 foot areas, and they had these special brushes and digging devices, and they were doing an archaeological dig for revolutionary artifacts. And they let us join them, which is really funny. They really didn't know us, but they let us join them. And sure enough, I found a porcelain shard from the Revolutionary War day, and you know, gave it over, and I just thought that's the coolest thing. And I was thinking about this archaeology, that what happens when you kind of dig into the past, you know, and thinking of what they were doing with that porcelain shard as they were trying to think, now, how did those people eat? How did they dine together? What was a craftsmanship like then? Like, even through a porcelain shard, you can kind of put that together and think through a culture's values, what was important to them, how they operated, Yeah, just through that little shard, you can actually put together, dig deep, and find what people value. I think that's pretty exciting. Just to finish the story about me and my gang, we returned to the woods the very next day, armed with plastic spoons and old toothbrushes, and decided to look for some more revolutionary artifacts. Thank goodness for the artifacts that our attention to that archaeology dig wasn't very deep, and we soon left it and ran away, which is really good, because I think if we would have found some of the shards, it would have, I don't know, destroyed the whole archaeology site. Anyway, so that was my... But think about, how would we do a dig today? What would we look for today? Like, we might go through someone's trash or their recyclables, their green bins, find out how much someone eats, what they eat, how many people they feed. We might look at their credit card bills and figure out how their money is spent. That's another way to figure out what people value. We could look through their calendar and how time is spent. We could look through their journal. That's a terrible thing to do. We could look through someone's journal and find out what they value through the things they write about. You know, what the things that they're emotional about, the things that they have fears about. We could find a lot about what they value through doing some digs into someone's journal. Or, you know, emails, texts, cell phones. Who do you talk to? What do they talk about? How long do you talk with? Again, there's all kinds of ways we can do these artifacts and dig in to a culture or institution, some people, and find out what they value. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We are starting a series called Blueprints, and we're going to be digging into some of the things that have been really significant for Church Without Walls over the last 14 years. So let me pray, and then we'll keep going. God, thank you that we get to be together tonight. And God, thank you that you're here, that your Holy Spirit is alive and at work. And we pray for more, Lord. That even as we look more deeply into 1 John, even as we talk together, even as we open up this series, we pray that you would come and guide and teach us. Amen. All right. So this series of Blueprints, and we are going to be in it from now until mid-March. It's an 11-week series. And let me just riff off this Blueprints title for a moment. Look around in this room at something that was made. I don't know, that funky little light fixtures with the holes, or pew, your shoe, your neighbor's shirt, someone's earrings. Anything that was made. Most likely, someone just didn't like start hammering together some wood to make a pew. There was probably a blueprint behind that, some sort of a sketch or a picture, a design that went into making that. We certainly hope so with this roof, that there was some sort of blueprint, architectural, structural design about that. And I think what's interesting is most of the time we don't look at blueprints. If something's working well, we don't really look at the blueprint, right? We don't really look at the design. We just sort of assume everything's fine. You know, you don't tend to look under the hood of your car when everything's going well. But from time to time, I think it's good to check. And we're doing this series of blueprints, not that things aren't going well in our church. I think things are going really well. But I think it's also good from time to time to look back and just say, what are the things, that the kind of design, the sketch, the things that we held as really important as we began this church 14 years ago and as we continue as a church. So that's what we're going to do, is look at these blueprints. We're using four kind of pieces of Church Without Walls documents, and this will be the first time some of us will look at this. This will be like the 100th time that others of us are looking at this. And these are the four documents, just so you know. We have a purpose and a values document. Anyway, we have a purpose and a values document. We also have, which someone in prayer today called our values document. I really liked it. Enduring and endearing. I kind of thought that was cute. Anyway. So we have an enduring and enduring values document. With that, the purpose of our church, why we exist. We also have a book called Not the Religious Type that's been another influence to us that we give to folks when they first come. And then the last thing is we have a document where we have a phase of running as a church called CWA 2.0, which is kind of a rebooting of our purpose and values and things that we've learned. If you're in a Discover group, and I just did a count today, there's about 85 of us who are in Discover groups, which is a lot. Some of those guys don't come on Sunday. We also have folks here in this room that come on Sundays but aren't in a Discover group. So again, it's kind of fluid in terms of where people are. But if you're not in a Discover, if you are in a Discover group, you will have gotten the values and purpose statement, as well as a summary of called Introduction to History of kind of Blueprints and what that's about. There are some copies on the back table if you don't have that, so I just want to invite you later to do that. There's also on our website, you can have a copy of our values and our history. And I want to say a word to newcomers. Some of you say, oh, is this like one of these internal church series, you know, that I'm not really going to get because I haven't really been here at all and I don't really have much church background. And I just want to say, no. I think it's going to be good for everybody. I think these things that we're talking about are some practices that will really help you as you follow Jesus. So I actually think they're good for anyone who's just checking out Jesus. So I want to encourage newcomers in particular to hang in with us, because I think we will learn some things. So we are in some very good company when we go back to our touchstones, to things that we knew. The text that Chris Morrison read is from the beginning of a letter that the Apostle John wrote. John also wrote the Gospel of John, one of the biographies of Jesus. He also wrote the book of Revelation, which is the very last book in the Bible, which is this crazy book with a lot of apocalyptic images and very interesting, as well as three letters. And of course, 1 John is the first letter that he writes. So Chris read the starting of that letter, and I don't know if you noticed, but what a weird start. There's nothing about to my beloved church and such, or to my best buddy Leroy, or whatever. I mean, there's no greeting, there's no salutation, there's no naming. They just said, you know, to so-and-so from John. There's none of that. There's none of the normal greetings that you would expect in a letter or email that we might compose. There's none of the normal greetings that you would expect in any of the letters that you find in the scriptures. He starts off, we declare to you, What a weird way to start a letter. We declare to you, or other versions say, we proclaim to you, or we tell you. He starts it that way, and actually he says it three different times in the four verses, in verse 2, verse 3. We declare to you, we declare to you, we declare to you. Wow, what a start. So let me just read this one more time. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy, or some manuscripts say our joy, may be complete. Let's look at this text a little bit more. I find it very inspiring. We declare to you what was from the beginning. What's John talking about when he says the beginning? Does he mean the beginning of, like, all space and time? Does he mean the beginning of the creation of the world? Does John mean the beginning of when Jesus came on earth, what we just celebrated at Christmas? What does he mean? Or does he mean the beginning of when he first experienced Jesus? What's the beginning point? And I would say, and it's probably a safe bet, is I think John is talking about the beginning of his relationship with Jesus, the first time that he encountered Jesus. The beginning. And he's going back to that time. And he's talking about Jesus, and what's so interesting is he refers to Jesus here as the word of life, this life, the eternal life. John writes about Jesus in his gospel that same way. He takes the person of Jesus and says, he's life. That it's not simply a human being, but in Jesus, there's life. And such a rich life that you would actually be able to say, he's life. You can't say Dana now, she's life. You wouldn't say, you go, ooh, that's weird. But Jesus, you could say, he's life. He's the Son of God. He created us. We're in his image. He's life. And so John refers to Jesus as life. Let's keep going. It's such an interesting passage. And you see over and over again, John's like, we have heard, we have seen, we have touched, we have looked. It's just over and over and over again that John has a personal experience with Jesus. That Jesus isn't like some ghost vapor or some hologram, but that John is leaning heavily on his firsthand eyewitness experience with knowing Jesus, as being a follower of Jesus. He is leaning heavily on the reality of Jesus and the flesh and blood as he begins this letter. And if we want to, we can go to the Gospel of John and read about all John's encounters and the way that he interacted with Jesus. And he's saying it's not just John's experience. John uses we. We declare to you that he's also saying it wasn't just me. It wasn't my own little private moments with Jesus. But there's we. There's others of us who were followers of Jesus that experienced him as eyewitnesses, that experienced him firsthand. Okay, so why does John speak so strongly? We've seen this. We testify. We want you to know. We declare to you. Why does he speak so strongly? Well, there's many reasons. You can see that as you read all of 1 John. But there's two reasons he says in the opening verses. One reason he speaks so strongly is that so they might have fellowship with John and John, the company, the other disciples. And by extension, fellowship with God and Jesus. Now, fellowship is a churchy word. I do not like it because it's been kind of relegated into one of those wimpy words like, let's have fellowship and eat coffee and punch. You know, it's just, but it's actually a very rich word. That what fellowship actually means is a relationship and an intimacy that's based on a common devotion to Jesus. So it's actually a really beautiful word that I think we've made too small. But to have fellowship means together we're trying to follow Jesus together. It's a beautiful word. So that's what John's saying. I want to tell you this is true because I want you to have fellowship with us. Okay, there's a second reason that John writes in verse 4. He says, and you know why else we're writing these things? So that our joy, or some maybe says your joy, may be complete. John's not angry as he's writing this letter. He's excited. And he's not timid, he's not sad, he's not bummed out. He's full of joy when he writes and when he remembers what he's experienced with Jesus. See, John's going back to the very beginning, his first encounters with Jesus, his past experiences with Jesus, everything that he knows about Jesus, and he writes that in a present tense. And it would say something like this, if I were to summarize this verse, I would say, this, Jesus, is true. I've seen him with my very own eyes. He is my life. He is my joy. Come and join me. That's how I would summarize that part of 1 John. That's exciting. Now, likewise, in this blueprint series, we're going to go back to certain past writings in the history of our church, so some values, our purpose, and we're going to say, these have been some super helpful touchstones to us over the last 14 years. These have really helped us follow Jesus. And we can look back at these things and we can say, over these years, man, we've really grown as a church, and we've really grown as individuals trying to follow Jesus as we've looked at these values. We can also get back and say, whoa, I don't see that at all in our church. Or maybe even, oh, I don't see that very much in my own life being lived out. And that's really helpful, too, to actually use these touchstones, to use these marker points as a way to reflect on how we're doing as a church, how we're doing individually as we try to follow Jesus. Okay. I'm having a DC night tonight. This may sound corny, but a few years ago, I got to watch fireworks in Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July. And I kid you not, I brought a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and I read it while waiting for it to get dark enough for the fireworks to shoot. I know. Nerd, 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 nerd. And these are the thoughts that I had as I read the Declaration. Not the part, I don't know if you've read the Declaration. The first part of the Declaration of Independence is really great, and then there's this rant about King George that goes on forever. And it's like, not so much the King George rant, but the first part of the Declaration of Independence. And it made me think about a lot of things, right? And some of the big things, like it made me think about what is the role of government in the life of people? You know, and how is our nation doing? And, you know, do I see the Declaration of Independence being lived out in our country today? But you know what's probably the most important part? Wasn't just looking at the big national questions, but how am I feeling about being an American? What kind of citizen am I? And now I have to say, and you can join me on this 4th of July, every single year now, I read the Declaration of Independence, and I might throw in the Constitution too, just because it's helpful. But I have to tell you, it's like a little touchstone time for me, and it really helps me. I mean, my identity as an American is just one part of my identity. It's much more than that. But I think it's good from time to time to look back at those things and say, okay, what is this about? So that's been really helpful to me. And so here at Church Without Walls, again, I think it's time to go back to our blueprints, go back to some of our foundational documents, and look again. As I said, many of us are in Discover groups, and we're looking together in smaller groups each week. And we're gonna also look at the same topics here on Sunday, although we're going to take a slightly different take, just because it's a different way of learning here. But I think you're going to enjoy it. So next week, we're going to look at our first study, which is community, and Pete Ginland's going to talk about that. But tonight, I kind of want to look at some of the things that we've learned from this first week in Discover groups, for those of us who are in Discover groups. One commitment we made, the folks at the Discover group leaders made, is when our groups are talking about something, to try to give a little snapshot picture to me so I can kind of see, you know, if everyone's sending in kind of their snapshots of what they're learning, we can kind of see if there's a pattern, if there's a repetition. And sure enough, there is. So one of the questions that we asked this week in Discover groups are just kind of, what are some observed values that you've seen in Church Without Walls? Let me say, that doesn't matter. No, isn't that weird? Food. That came up in every single group. That's so funny. Yeah. I also, again, want to say that there's a significant number of people in Discover groups that don't attend Sunday. So their vantage point of Church Without Walls, because church is not just on Sunday, right? We're Church Without Walls. Their vantage point was just maybe that Discover group, or maybe like a movie night they've gone to or something. So it's not just what happens on Sunday, but other times in the week that folks have experienced. And these are kind of eight things that came up in every single Discover group. And I thought it was kind of fun. Like, I don't know about the food. I think that's kind of cool. Several people have gotten their PhDs writing dissertations on food in the Bible, so there's something good about that. But these are the eight things. Food, diversity, welcoming, hospitality, generosity, community, prayer, and the Holy Spirit being at work. You know, I look at this list, I'm actually kind of pleased. I really am. And it makes me want to lean more harder and more firmly into these things. These are really good things. Because one implication of this list, like that welcoming diversity, hospitality, generosity, you know what that means to me as a CWOW member? I can invite anyone I want to Church Without Walls, and know you guys aren't going to hose them. But know that you guys are going to welcome them. Know that you guys are going to say, are going to greet them and ask how they're doing. You're going to be generous with them. I don't have to worry about, oh, I don't know if I should bring them to this church event. But I can bring them to any part of CWOW knowing that you guys have some really good values. I don't have to take care of my friend, you know, defend them from the church. But like, it's like a good place. You know, we're not going to scar you. Look at this. Welcome. You know, it's good. And that's huge. And I want to know, I know it's really scary to go to church for the first time. I know it's really scary to go to a place where you don't know anybody. So this is really great values to know it's going to be okay. You're going to get welcomed here. That's so cool. Some of my relatives came to our Christmas Eve service, and they're totally not church types. And they asked me before they got there, are we going to get struck by lightning if we come? And I said, of course not. And then I said, you don't really know our church. Now, I could have said, of course not, you don't really know God. But yeah, I know I didn't, because you know the main way that I think my relatives are going to encounter God is through God's people. The main way that they're going to find out that God isn't going to strike them with lightning is that God's people don't strike them with lightning. So there's a reflection of who God is lived out in the community. Wow, that is so cool. That's a really long way. So I can talk to them about God till I'm blue in the face. But it's God's people who are going to positively or unfortunately negatively reflect God to them. That's why these values of welcoming and hospitality and generosity and diversity are so important. These aren't soft little optional, you know, niceties, but these mirror God's heart. So the fact that they're observable values in our church, that's great. That really encourages me. Second observation that I really like too is this whole mentioning of prayer and the Holy Spirit. What these values show me is that our church isn't just a bunch of nice people, you know, do-gooders, but that we're also about something bigger than us, and that is God. That prayer is basically communicating to God. We believe there's a God who wants to talk to us. That's huge. And also that we believe that God works through the Holy Spirit, that we give space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and work in us. What those values of prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to work mean to us is that we believe God's present in our lives and in our world, and that's really exciting. So it's not just a little club here, but there's this big, big belief, value of God's at work here. Wow, this is super cool. So I think we can join, back to 1 John 1, we can join with what John writes in verse 2 when he says, this life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. And this is what I think this is saying, is that this life with God, this life with one another, is so much richer and so bigger than our little lives can concoct. Wow. So exciting. And so when we press into these values of prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit, that's just, man, it like adds a million dimensions to us, right? So this morning we had this church business and prayer meeting. It's called the Prayer Tent. We're having them on the second Sundays and invite everyone to come. And you know, we have this church business in the first part, and then we spend time worshiping God and praying together. And it was phenomenal. It was so amazing, because I think there's a way we can get, oh, church business, you know. I mean, it's good stuff and it's necessary stuff. But then when we kind of prayed and we worshiped, it was like, oh, holy smokes, God's here. It's not our own little club, but the God of the universe is here. Wow. Wow, that is amazing. God showed up. That's amazing. I love it. Now back to this list, this food diversity, welcoming, all this good stuff. This is not perfect by any means. There are some big omissions here. It's like, ouch. What about the Bible? I mean, that's kind of fundamental. That didn't show up very much. Yeah. And again, we're not making implications. It's just kind of a quick flyover zone of what people observe. So don't you know, get too depressed. But you know, I'm just saying there's some omissions here that I kind of thought would show up pretty regularly in people's groups, and they haven't. So that'll be interesting to kind of to find out why that is. Or here's ones that show up, but there's a lot of questions. This whole diversity thing, it's really interesting because a lot of people ask questions about this. Like, well, I see diversity in some areas and not other areas. Or one person said, this is the most diverse church I've ever seen. You know, and the same person, I mean, a different person, but same church says, eh, not really. So again, there's different perspectives on diversity and what it means to have a diverse church. So again, we're really, even the things that we say, yeah, but there's diversity here, even that, there's more to figure out, there's more to flesh out what we mean by that, what we're heading for. So there's just lots of questions that I'm not going to get into tonight, that hopefully as we look at each topic in the weeks to come, we'll be able to look at some of that. So here's what I want you to do now. I'm going to read 1 John one more time, and I want you to pull out your connection card. And on the back, there's two next steps that you can take as we begin this blueprint series. One is I will review 1 John 1, 1 to 4, and think on what have I experienced with Jesus that brings joy. And some of us say, I don't know that much about Jesus. And it's like, that's fine, but what have you experienced with Jesus that has brought you joy? So again, like John says, we write this for our joy. But wouldn't it be great to use this text and say, what have I experienced? What do I know of Jesus? What has that brought me joy? The second is just, as you review the purpose and values, and we'll be doing this in the weeks ahead, consider how they shape the church. And also, not just the church, but how they shape you. It's so easy to talk about the man, you know, the institution. Dudes, that's us, you know. So what are we doing with that? How are those values affecting us as individuals, too? So I'm going to just read the scripture one more time and ask you to kind of think about this. Oh, how has that affected me? And then we're going to continue in worship. Again, a reading from 1 John 1, 1 to 4. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So Lord, we pray that you would continue to shape us with your word, that you, Holy Spirit, would remind us of the ways that we've experienced Jesus and how that has brought us life and healing. And Lord, that you would also show us the things that we long for and hunger for, the things that haven't yet happened. And so we ask that you would guide us in this series in the weeks to come. Mm-hmm.